So Leviticus chapter 23. I'm just going to read from verse 23. So Leviticus chapter 23, verse 23, it tells us this. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, saying, in the seventh month, in the first day of the month, shall ye have a Sabbath, a memorial of blowing of trumpets and holy convocation. You shall do no servile work therein, but ye shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. So praise, let's just come before the Lord in prayer as we come around scripture this evening. Hallelujah. Praise you, my God, my King. Thank you, Lord, that through your name, through the name of Messiah, through the name of Yeshua, we can come before the throne of grace. We can come before your throne, Heavenly Father. And I pray that as we look into your word this evening, Lord God, may you give insight, may you give understanding, open our ears to hear what you'd have us to hear, Lord God. May you open our eyes to see what you'd have us to see, Lord God. And I pray that your Holy Spirit would brood over each one of us right now, Lord God. I pray, Lord, that we would hear your voice, that as best as I can expose it, as best as I can in my own way try and teach your word, ultimately it's your Holy Spirit and the word together that brings life, Lord God. So I pray, Lord God, that your word would bring life, Lord God, by the power of the Holy Spirit. I pray, Lord God, that we would understand the significance of the Feast of Trumpets, Lord God, the sound of the blasting of trumpets, and Zacharon, Teruah, Lord God, that we would understand all the significance of that, all the significance of this time of year, Lord God. And Lord, I just pray that you would be in all I say this evening. In your name, Lord Jesus, in your name, Yeshua, I pray, amen. Amen. So praise the Lord. So we have chapter 23 of Leviticus. And if you want to know all the biblical feasts, the feasts of the Lord, then you need to read chapter 23. That lists all of the feasts from the Sabbath right through to the final feast, which is the Feast of Sukkot, the Feast of Tabernacles. That's the biblical list that God gives us in the Torah. And in one way or another, all of these feasts that God gave to Israel, notice they are called the Feasts of the Lord. So strictly speaking, not called the Feasts of Israel, they are the Feasts of the Lord, which the Lord gave to the Jewish people to observe his feasts. So they're ultimately the Lord's feasts, and the Jewish people are called upon to observe the instructions of the living God concerning how to observe these things. Anyway, be that as it may, in some way, all of these feasts in Leviticus chapter 23 prophetically point towards the Messiah. They point towards Yeshua and the work that he has done in one way or another. And also these feasts point to what the Lord is ultimately going to do in one way or another in the future. So for example, I've already mentioned the Sabbath, I think, where the Sabbath, Shabbat, speaks of our spiritual rest in Messiah. So, you know, what are we meant to do on the seventh day? Well, there's meant to be a cessation of work. And that cessation of work, which we do physically, in some ways point to the deeper spiritual reality that Messiah did all the work on our behalf at the cross of Calvary. What we could not do, Messiah did. We do not do good works to get saved. We do good works by the power of the Holy Spirit because we are saved. Now, that's the Sabbath speaks of our rest in him, his finished work. Then we have Passover, Pesach, which is connected to the Feast of Unleavened Bread in chapter 23. And that speaks of the Messiah, Yeshua, as the sinless Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. You know, so we've got that feast, which is observed every year in remembrance of the Exodus. But, you know, the Lord accomplished a greater Exodus when he called us out of the world into the kingdom of light. You know, he's redeemed us from the hand of Satan. And that's the greatest Exodus anyone can experience. And one day all of Israel are going to experience that great Exodus for themselves. They're going to see the one pierced for them when the Lord returns. You know, I'm looking forward to that day. Zechariah chapter 12, verse 10 speaks about that day. And I believe all Israel at that time shall be saved. You know, God's word declares it in Romans chapter 11. And so I believe that's what's going to happen when Messiah comes. And we sang earlier on, Baruch Abba B'Shem Adonai. Now, Lord said they won't see the Messiah until they say those words. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Then they will see. Then there will be an understanding. The veil will drop from their eyes and they will bow and worship and cry before the one who was pierced for them. So you've got that feast as well, connected to the unleavened bread. Then you've got the Feast of First Fruits. You know, the first fruits was shed. You have Passover on the 14th of Nisan, the 16th of Nisan, and Nisan is the first month of the Jewish calendar, the Hebrew calendar. You have the 16th of Nisan, the Feast of First Fruits, the offering of the barley harvest to the Lord. And that speaks of the Messiah who rose from the dead. He's the first fruits of the resurrection. No, he rose again, and his resurrection is in anticipation of the of our resurrection to come. If you trust Messiah, because he lives, you know, we live right now spiritually, but one day we're going to live physically in new bodies, glorified bodies like his body. You know, what a great thing we've got to look forward to then. So the Feast of First Fruits speaks of that. And then you have the count up, if you will, from that Passover period to the Feast of Weeks, Shavuot, as it's called. You know, in the New Testament, it's called Pentecost, but it's the Feast of Weeks. And we know that talks of the birth of the one new man in Messiah. You know, on that day, what would the priest do? The priest would offer an offering of wheat in the form of two loaves baked with leaven, and they would be waved before the Lord. And, you know, one loaf ultimately spiritually speaks of the Jewish people. One loaf speaks of the Gentiles, people being acceptable to God through the work of Calvary. And the Holy Spirit created on that day the corporate body of the Messiah. And so you've got that symbolism then. Then after that, you have the Feast of Trumpets, as it's called biblically. Today it's known as Rosh Hashanah, the head or top of the year. You know, so it's marked as the Jewish civil new year. The religious new year actually begins in Nisan. Exodus chapter 12, verse 2 indicates that. So anyway, to read verse 24 again, it tells us this: speak unto the children of Israel, saying, in the seventh month, in the first day of the month, shall you have a Sabbath, a memorial of blowing of trumpets, a holy convocation. And so we can see this Feast of Trumpets, also known as Rosh Hashanah, which today is the start of the Jewish civil new year, as I just said, it is observed on the first of Tishri. That's the seventh month of the Jewish calendar. Notice this, and I've said it before, Passover, unleavened bread, the Feast of First Fruits, were observed in Nisan, the first month of the Hebrew calendar. You know, that's around about March, April time, basically. That's the biblical new year. And then you've got the Jewish religious new year, excuse me. And then you've got the Feast of Weeks, Pentecost, Shavuot, which is in the third month. And then you have this great big long gap. So you've got this feast, Shavuot, the Feast of Weeks, and there's a gap of about 3 to 4 months before we get to the Feast of Trumpets, to Yom Teruah, the day of the blowing of or the blast of trumpets. And so you've got this great big long gap. And so, yeah, it's roughly 4 months. So you've got the Feast of Weeks is in Sivan. That's the third month. Then you've got after that, the month of Tammuz. That's the fourth month of the Hebrew calendar. No feast, nothing goes on. After that, you've got the month of Ab. Nothing goes on. You've got the month of Elul. There's nothing going on there until you get to Tishri. So there's this long gap of 3 to 4 months before the last biblical feast was held. And then suddenly, this silence, if you will, is broken by the sound of trumpets sounding and the piercing noise of the ram's horn, of the shofar. Thus, you know, we need to ask ourselves the question before we get into the blowing of the shofar a bit more: what is the prophetic significance of this long gap between the Feast of Weeks or Pentecost and Yom Teruah, the day of the blowing of trumpets, or Rosh Hashanah, as it's known by the Jewish people today? Well, verse 22 of Leviticus chapter 23 gives us a hint of why there is this long gap. You know, what does it mean prophetically? Well, verse 22 tells us this. It says, and when ye reap, so this is verse 22, so this is the period between the two feasts, the Feast of Weeks and the Feast of Feast of the Blowing of Trumpets. It tells us this, verse 22, and when ye reap the harvest of your land, thou shalt not make clean riddance of the corners of thy field when thou reapest, neither shalt thou gather any gleaning of thy harvest. Thou shalt leave them unto the poor and to the stranger. I am the Lord your God. So notice this verse mentions the stranger. Who were the strangers from the covenant of the promise of God? Gentiles. Gentiles are strangers. Gentiles are aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and from the covenants of the promise of the living God. And so when you were seeing this picture here of the fields being harvested, or the corners of the field being harvested by strangers, that's speaking of Gentiles today who partake of the covenant promises of God given to Israel through the finished work of the Jewish Messiah. You know, just as, you know, so today, through faith in the Jewish Messiah, Yeshua the Lord, strangers, that is Gentiles. And you know, I'm a Gentile. I'm by nature a stranger through faith alongside other Jewish believers in Messiah, share in the spiritual blessings of the covenants of promise that God gave to Abraham, through Isaac, to Jacob. But it's all through faith in Messiah. And if you look at Romans chapter 11, you know, have a good look at Romans chapter 11. That indicates that Gentiles, who are the wild olive branches, contrary to nature, the strangers, if you will, through the Messiah, through Yeshua, through the Lord Jesus Christ, share with Jewish believers in the Messiah. That is the natural olive branches. So if you're Jewish, you're a natural olive branch that actually, through Messiah, has been grafted back onto your promises. That's the reality of it. But Gentiles, they never had anything to do with that. Yet together, through faith in Messiah, we partake, we share of the root and fatness of the olive tree. We share of the covenant promises through the Messiah, Yeshua. Thus, prophetically, this long gap between the biblical feasts of Shavuot and Yom Teruah as trumpets in Leviticus 23 speaks of this present age of grace we are in right now. Prophetically, speaking of what God is doing now, has been doing for the last 2,000 years, God, through the blood of the Messiah, through the blood of Jesus, through the blood of Yeshua, has expanded the Commonwealth of Israel to include Gentiles. Now, Ephesians chapter 2 deals with this theme. And verse 18 of chapter 2 of Ephesians tells us this. Basically, I'm going to just read it very briefly in light of what I've just said. So in verse 18 of chapter 2, it tells us this. But through him, that is through Messiah, we both, that is both Jewish people and Gentiles, and it's all through Messiah, have access by one Spirit, one Holy Spirit, the Ruach HaKodesh, unto the Father. Now we're brought together. Gentiles have been included in the Commonwealth of Israel. And it reminds me of John chapter 10. And in John chapter 10, which I'm going to turn to very briefly as well. I wasn't going to, but I think I will. John chapter 10 and verse 16. This is what the Lord said at his first coming. He said, "And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold." Who are the other sheep? Gentiles. They weren't of the fold of Israel. They weren't of the Commonwealth of Israel. But notice where it says, "So not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd." Now, so other sheep he brings into his one fold, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Jewish people and Gentiles as one new man in Messiah. You know, that was God's vision for his congregation, for his body. It hasn't worked out quite that way. We know that through church history, you know, that the church has excluded Jewish believers, have excluded Jewish people from their own covenants, and yet God's perfect vision was for both Jewish people and Gentiles to become one new man in Messiah. Anyway, so there's this long gap between the Feast of Weeks, Shavuot, and the sound of the trumpets, Rosh Hashanah, as it's called today, and suddenly there's this blast of a shofar, the memorial of the blowing of trumpets, as it's called in Leviticus 20, chapter 23, verse 24. And biblically, this feast is a holy convocation, Mikra Kodesh, literally a holy sacred assembly, a holy calling together to hear the sound of the trumpets, to hear the blast, the piercing shrill of the ram's horn as it blasts out, of the shofar as it sounded out. And verse 24 tells us it's a memorial of blowing of trumpets. No, it's a zikron teruah. I think I've got my Hebrew right from the top of my head, but you know, it's a memorial. It's remembering something. So what are we to remember, particularly as Messianic believers? If you're a Messianic Jewish person or a Messianic Gentile person, if you will, what are we called to remember? Well, when a shofar sounds, you know, there are loads of different things to remember. You know, the rabbis listed some, or whatever, which include things such as the giving of the law to Moses, the giving of the Torah to Moses on Mount Sinai, and through Moses, who received the Torah that was given to the Jewish people. And when Moses went up Mount Sinai, the Lord came down, he descended, there was lightnings, there was thunderings, there was a thick cloud, the Shekinah glory was there, and what was the sound heard? The shofar, the blast of a trumpet, blast out. That word trumpet in most English translations, as it's translated, is actually shofar. The shofar sounded out. And so the blast of the shofar should remind us of the giving of the law. And as Messianic believers, we should remember that no one could keep the Torah, the instructions of the living God. No one, there's none righteous, no, not one. We've all come short of the glory of God. And the whole purpose of the Torah was to direct us to the one who could save us, who is that? The Jewish Messiah. The Torah is a tutor, ultimately, that prepares our hearts, that prepares us to receive the good news, to turn to him and say, Lord, save me. Yeshua, I need salvation. Only you can give that salvation. Only your righteousness accredited to me gives me right standing before the Lord God of Israel. It's all in his precious blood, the Lamb of God's blood, the blood of Messiah, the blood of Mashiach, the anointed one. And you know, so it's a time to remember that. Also, we should remember Joshua chapter 6. And I'd encourage you to read that in Joshua chapter 6, the armies of Israel under the leadership of Joshua. And it's interesting, Joshua, Yehoshua is the long form of the name Yeshua. You know, Yah saves, the Lord saves. So that's interesting, but I'm not going to say anything more about that because I'm not here to talk about that. But the significance of this situation is that they come in, there's Jericho, a fortified city, it's got a city walls around it, and the Lord instructs the children of Israel, the armies of Israel, to march around this city 7 times, 6 days once, and you've got the 7 priests, we're told, have got their shofars, and so they march around once, and then on the 7th day, they march around 7 times. After they've marched around 7 times, they blow the shofars, and the walls of that city come tumbling down. God judges Jericho. And Jericho is a picture of the world, if you will. In some way, the fall, the collapse of Jericho prefigures the coming judgment of the Lord that's going to one day come on all the nations. You know, the book of Revelation deals with this coming judgment. You know, it foreshadows in some way, in typology, in prophetic symbolism, what's going to happen during the 7-year tribulation period to come, which is catalogued for us ahead of time from Revelation chapter 6 through to Revelation chapter 19. How, you know, the Jewish people marched 7 times around Jericho. We know how many years does the tribulation last? How many years does Jacob's trouble last? How many years does that coming period of tribulation last? Time in the future? Well, it lasts 7 years. We know that from Daniel chapter 9, verse 27, and comparing it with the numbers in Revelation chapter 11 and also Revelation chapter 12. So we know it's a 7-year period. So in some way, that marching around 7 days around Jericho prefigures what's going to happen in the future for 7 years in the future. And they sounded the shofar. So when we hear the shofar, it should speak of the giving of the Torah and the grace God gives us through Messiah. It should speak of the coming future judgment as well. And again, the grace God gives us through Messiah. And then we should remember that one day the Jewish people are going to be gathered back to their land. There's going to be a regathering in the future. We see hints of it now, but the great regathering isn't going to occur until Messiah returns. One day is going to be the sound of a great shofar, a great trumpet, and the Lord will gather his people. In Isaiah chapter 27, and again, I wasn't going to turn to this, but I will do. But Isaiah chapter 27 tells us this. So Isaiah chapter 27 and verses 12 to 13 tells us, and this is at the close of the 7-year tribulation period I've just spoken on. It tells us this, and it shall come to pass in that day. So it's speaking about a specific day, a specific future period to come. And this is at the end of it. When Messiah returns, it says in that day that the Lord shall beat off from the channel of the river unto the stream of Egypt, and ye shall be gathered one by one, O ye children of Israel. And it shall come to pass in that day that the great trumpet, the great shofar, the great ram's horn shall be blown, and they shall come which were ready to perish in the land of Assyria, and the outcasts in the land of Egypt, and shall worship the Lord in the holy mount of Jerusalem. So it's going to be this great blast of the shofar, and the Lord is going to gather his people. And the parallel passage to that is in the Gospels, Matthew chapter 24. It deals with the same thing. So I'm going to turn there just as a comparison. So in Matthew chapter 24, and I think it's I think it's towards its verse 31. So Matthew chapter 24 and verse 31, this is at the second coming of the Lord. When he returns, it tells us this, and he, that is the Messiah, Yeshua, shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet. That's the same trumpet, the same shofar, I believe, which we read of in chapter 27 just now. And it carries on, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. And so that speaks of the gathering of the Jewish people back to their land when Messiah returns. And then we should also remember that one day, so the Lord will gather his people, the Jewish people, and then one day our Lord, Yeshua, HaMashiach, will ascend his earthly throne in Zion. And earlier, Chantel gave an explanation about Psalm 47, Suzanne read it. And you know, part of that psalm, verse 5, tells that God is gone up. That is, he's ascended with a shout, the Lord with the sound of a trumpet. And if you look at the context of that, it's dealing about the Lord sitting on his throne, judging the nations. The Lord one day will reign over the earth. And Psalm 98, Francis is going to read later on. Again, that deals with the same thing. Verse 6 of Psalm 98 tells us that with trumpets and the sound of cornet, the sound of a shofar, make a joyful noise before the Lord, the King. We're to rejoice in the Lord when we hear the shofar. But also there's a sense of judgment as you get towards the end of that chapter as well, that God will judge with equity and righteousness. That is the one we serve. And so when we hear the shofar, yes, it speaks of the law. Yes, it speaks of the future regathering of Israel, God's future judgment. It also speaks that one day the Lord is going to reign physically from Mount Zion in the person of the Messiah, Yeshua HaMashiach. Also, things to remember as we hear the shofar, we should remember the ram that Abraham sacrificed in place of his son Isaac in Genesis chapter 22, the Akedah. We should remember God provided a substitute. If we remember, Abraham was told by God to offer Isaac as a burnt offering. And Abraham and his son together went up Mount Moriah. They laid out an altar. They laid out all the wood and so forth, which Isaac had carried. And as they were going up there, before they got there, what did Isaac say? Where's the lamb? And what was Abraham's reply? God will provide a lamb. And if we remember, he put this altar together. That Isaac lies on this altar. Abraham gets a knife to offer his son. At that moment, the Lord holds his hand. He stops Abraham doing that. And Abraham hears a sound in the thicket, in the shrubbery, in the thick bushes. There's a ram called up. He takes the ram. The Lord provided a ram in place of Isaac. The Lord provided a substitute in place of Abraham's son, Isaac. Do you know God the Father provided a substitute in place of you and I? Whether Jewish people or Gentiles, we have a substitute. We have the blood of Messiah shed for us. Without the shedding of blood, there is no atonement for sin. Messiah shed his blood. And one drop of Messiah's righteous blood far outweighs all of our sinful blood. No, one drop of sinless righteous blood in God's sight is enough to pay for our sins. And Messiah gave all his life for you and I. He poured out all his life. All his blood was shed for you and I. The blood had to be shed. It had to be shed to make an atonement for you and I, so that we could enter into the holy presence of a holy God. You know, John chapter 3, verse 16, probably one of the most famous verses in the Bible. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Romans chapter 5, verse 8 tells us that God commended his love towards us, and that while we were yet sinners, Messiah died for you and I. He took our place. That substitutionary atonement right there. And you get some people who deny it. But to understand what the Messiah did, there has to be an understanding of an innocent life for a guilty life. There has to be an understanding of substitution. The Messiah dying in our place. Without that, there's no salvation. And you get some so-called Bible teachers, liberals, who deny that. But if there's a denial of that, there cannot be biblical salvation. It's based on substitution. An animal being shed back under the older covenant, back in the Torah, spoke of the one who was going to come and shed his blood, spoke of the sinless one who was going to lay his life down for all of us here this evening. The first epistle of Peter, chapter 3, verse 18, tells us this, that the Messiah also has once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Ruach HaKodesh, quickened by the Holy Spirit. No, his sinless life was offered on behalf of our sinful lives. No, praise the Lord for salvation. Praise the Lord. The shofar should remind us of all of that. And I'd encourage you, read Genesis 22. Really, you know, it's a beautiful picture of what Messiah and God the Father have done for us by the power of the Holy Spirit. And finally, I'm going to basically sort of finish on this point. When that shofar sounds, it should remind us that this present age of grace, you know, I spoke of this long gap where both Jewish people and Gentiles are being made one new man in Messiah. The blast of that shofar, the blast of the trumpets should remind us that this present age of grace is one day going to come to an end. It's not going to last forever. God is long-suffering. God is patient. God's not willing that any should perish. That's true. That's all true. You know, our God is a God of love, but our God is also a holy God and a God of righteousness. That shofar will one day sound. I know that it tells us in Scripture, in the first epistle to the Thessalonians, chapter 4, verses 16 to 17, that the dead in Messiah, when that blast sounds, when that shofar sounds, and there's the voice of the archangel, that's when the Lord comes down to the clouds. It tells us that the dead in Messiah shall rise first. So all those who died in Messiah, all our loved ones who died in him, are going to rise from the dead. You know, it's a wonderful thought. But then we who are alive are going to be what? Called up to forever be with the Lord. And we're to comfort one another with those words. Messiah is returning for you and I. Now, that's what the shofar, in a sense, speaks of. Now, us being called up as a bride of the Lord to be with the Lord. And this trump, spoken of in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 17, is also known as the last trump in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 52. You know, that last trump, that last shofar blast, is in a sense our home call, if you will. You know, the earth isn't your home. You know, we're just passing through. Our home is where Messiah is right now. Now, have you ever wondered why you have problems on earth? Why sometimes people in the world, you know, just don't get you sometimes. People who you know, sometimes you think, what am I doing here? Well, it's because the earth isn't your home. Where's our citizenship? Heaven. And that's what Paul declared. Rabbi Shaul of Tarsus, if we look briefly in Philippians chapter, if I can remember where it is, it's chapter 3 and verse 20. So Philippians chapter 3 and verse 20 tells us this. It says, for our conversation, our citizenship is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Saviour, the Lord Yeshua, the Messiah, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he's able even to subdue all things unto himself. You're a citizen of heaven. Your name is in the Lamb's Book of Life if you trust and believe in what Messiah did for you. And if you believe he rose from the dead again, ascending on high, and one day he's coming again, you know, all of that is encompassed in the good news of Yeshua. Then your home is not here. And I'm waiting for that shofar to sound, that last trump sound, because it marks the end of this present age we're in. It marks the end of our ambassadorial role on earth. You know, we're called to be witnesses to who the Jewish Messiah is. But one day, our mission as the body of Messiah, his ecclesia, his called out ones, his congregation will come to an end. But that last trump, when it sounds, doesn't just mark the end of our mission on earth, if you will. It doesn't just mark the end of our mission. It marks the end of this present age of grace. And God will judge the nations. Therefore, the shofar should remind us to repent. You know, so if there's, you know, even as believers, we might have tripped up or whatever, but it's a reminder to us to keep our garments holy by looking for the soon coming of the King, by looking to him. So to keep our garments clean, but also to sound the shofar, spiritually speaking, to those who don't know Messiah, to those who don't know Yeshua. You know, now is the day to proclaim, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. The Lord is coming. And I believe he's coming, he's returned. He's probably a lot closer today than it was yesterday, definitely. It's a lot closer today than it was last year. You know, every day brings us close to the return of our Messiah. No, so we need ears to hear the spiritual shofar when it finally sounds. So today is the day of salvation, and we should be sounding the alarm. We should be sounding out the ram's horn, that piercing sound to the world. Our King, the King of Israel, the King of the Jewish people, is on his way. He's coming back for you and I at the rapture. He's coming back to gather his people when he returns a second time as well. Now, so all of that is encompassed in this day, the memorial of the blowing of trumpets. Now, so without much further ado, I'm just going to close there and pray before I ask Francis to read Psalm 98. Praise Lord. So, hallelujah. Praise you, my God and my King. Thank you for your word, Lord God, which is true from beginning to end, Lord God. And I pray, Lord, that what I've shared tonight as best I can, Lord, I pray that those things you would have your people to remember, your people to remember, Lord God, those things that, Lord God, you don't want your people to remember, they won't remember, Lord. I just pray, though, that in all things, Lord God, we would just honour you, Lord God. That, Lord, I pray that this Jewish New Year, Lord God, that I pray many Jewish people would have the opportunity in this following New Year, this following New Year in Israel and in this nation, Lord God, just to come to their Messiah. I pray many Jewish people would, Lord God, have their eyes opened by the Ruach HaKodesh, by the Holy Spirit, to who the Messiah is. That we know that some of the Orthodox Jewish people are still waiting for the Messiah's first coming, Lord God. It was missed the first time. We know that the first time the Messiah has already come, Lord God. But I pray that a lot of Jewish people come to the realization of the truth of this as revealed, Lord God, in your word, Lord. And I pray, Lord God, that, Lord, that this coming day will be a day of salvation for many Jewish people, but also for many Gentiles as well, Lord. So I just pray that you would overshadow, that you would be glorified and magnified, Lord. In your mighty name I pray, Lord Jesus. In your mighty name I pray, Yeshua. Amen.
Amen.
Well, praise the Lord. So I'm just going to ask Frances if she would read Psalm 98 before I blow the shofar.
I'm reading from verse 4. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Burst into jubilant song with music. Make music to the Lord with the harp. With the harp and the sound of singing. With trumpets and the blast of the ram's horn. Shout for joy before the Lord, the King. Let the sea resound and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. Let the rivers clap their hands. Let the mountains sing together for joy. Let them sing before the Lord, for he comes to judge the earth. He will judge the world in righteousness and the peoples with equity.
So hopefully I'm gonna blow the shofar, and as we blow it, so bear in mind everything that's been shared, the Psalm 98, Psalm 47, all of this speaks of the one who's coming to judge the world, the one who's coming to reign. Think of the covenant promises of God as well, that promise fulfilled in Messiah. Think of the provision that God provided in the ram, with Abraham, speaking of the substitutionary atonement of Messiah. And, for us as believers in Yeshua, let's remember that one day that shofar, that spiritual shofar, will sound and our King will return. Hallelujah. So praise the Lord. So.